Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
December 16, 2021, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this happens to be the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you found it. Now, if you're listening to us on the live stream, you might notice that I'm a bit late getting to the microphone. Things happen. What can I say? But if you're hearing the podcast, which most of you will do, frankly, you won't notice. It'll be fine. And trust me, well worth the wait if you're on the live stream anyway, because I have tonight with me the one and only Jordan Maxwell. The actual guy, which is funny. I got to ask him about something related to, I'm not sure if somebody's trying to impersonate him once again, but people do that. There's only one website, by the way, that belongs to the Jordan Maxwell, and that is jordanmaxwellshow.com. jordanmaxwellshow.com, all one word. That's the only website that's actually controlled by Jordan Maxwell. So if you're looking to contribute to Jordan, if you want to find a way to purchase, I know they had videos to download over there. If you'd like to join the Research Society, even, I'll give you a separate link to go join the Research Society, which can be done for a one-time fee, and you can become a lifetime member of the Research Society. Anyway, all that stuff, though, you can find, and you can email Jordan. Like I said, I did say contribute to his well-being. Yeah, I did. You can contribute to his well-being directly, if you like, with the PayPal button over there, excuse me. And all of that at jordanmaxwellshow.com. Okay. So, now that we've gotten that out of the way, and trust me, I'll mention it again. Jordan, first of all, how you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Nice to talk to you again.
It's always good to talk to you, my friend. And, before I get to the beginning part of what I'd like to discuss with you tonight, and encourage people that if you're in the live chat room or you're otherwise connected to the show and able to message me, by all means, this is a good time because we are live here just, about 18 minutes after 8 p.m. on the East Coast of what they used to call America. So 8:18 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday or Thursday. Guess what? We're live. And if you'd like to ask questions, enter them in the chat room or send me a message on Skype or send me a message through Twitter. You guys know how to do this. Feel free to do so. And I will read to Jordan whatever it is you're asking, as long as it's, reasonable. I mean, don't get stupid with me here, please. But, reasonable questions. Please, by all means, ask Jordan Maxwell while we're live. I don't know, Jordan, maybe one of these days we'll do a call-in show and see if people want to call in, too. I have you every Thursday in December. We could do it, let's see here. We could do it next week if you wanted to, do the call-in show. What do you think of that?
Oh, I like it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So next week we'll do call-ins, but for those of you that don't like to call in on the phone, you can go in the live chat room at Ocelli.com, wherever you're listening, because you could be hearing us on a radio app or whatever. But if you go to Ocelli.com and click the Listen Live button, you're automatically going to be shown a chat room. And you don't even need to sign into it. You can anonymously enter a question in there, and I will read it to Jordan. So we'll give them time to ask a question. But before we get to their questions, I got a couple for you.
Okay.
The first one is this. There was a guy on Twitter, and I think I sent you the link. And, he has a Twitter profile with your picture on it. And I immediately flagged it as something that I thought was fake, because it's not connected to your website. It's connected to some cryptocurrency website. And I said, Jordan is not out there trying to sell crypto. I know you'll accept cryptocurrency, but you're not out there selling like some sort of coin. I know this. And it doesn't say jordanmaxwellshow.com. So I'm thinking that's not your Twitter profile. Am I right?
That's not. But I think I know who's doing this, and it's all right with me.
Okay. No, look, that's all right if that's authorized by you, but I would always check with you because people have tried and have used your name. So I never take it for granted that unless I know for sure, and I've talked to you myself, I never necessarily trust. That's why I say there's only one website to go to that's yours, and I want to make that real clear. I mean, if you want to endorse somebody, you endorse away. But for getting directly to you, to contact you, I say yes. Go over to JordanMaxwellShow.com. So anyway, that was my first question. But I got another one, and I love going back over certain things that we have covered in the past. And I was thinking we did a pretty extensive job related to organized religion last time we were on, which yes. was 2 weeks ago. And it, you know, it went the gamut, not quite as extensive as the big series you and I did. But it was a good 2 hours of it. Got me some weird reactions, honestly. I guess we have listeners who didn't hear the 25-part series, which is available on YouTube at my site and a whole bunch of places. But I have a different area of interest tonight, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay, so the monetary system. You know, and I brought you up last night, by the way, when somebody started talking about how words always mean something, although we may not be clear about the words that people are using. When it comes to the monetary system, though, there is a series of terminologies, things that are just, you know, a part of the given understanding, right? The sort of, what do they call that? Oh, you take it for granted. Right? Yeah. That's the phrase that people take for granted and I think don't think about. So if you were introducing this topic to somebody for the first time and you wanted to
I would say nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Nothing works the way you think it does.
Mm-hmm. So the monetary system. This is one of those things where people discuss it and they theorize about it. And there are certainly individuals that seem to want to tell us they understand exactly how it works. And most of the time, they're really reaching in the dark, aren't they? Because I don't think they understand it. And part of the problem is the terminology. And, well, that's where I kind of turn it over to you. I mean, where should we begin? When we think about the way money works.
I think you could begin with me because I've been talking about this subject for many years. And I know that the Romans, the ancient Roman Empire, is America today. We are the ancient Roman Empire. And our Mississippi River is the Nile for the use of the terms that we're using are Egyptian. And so therefore we are an Egyptian empire, and that's why we have an empire state, because it's a Roman empire.
Well, and basically the empire state, that would be New York. Obviously it's named after York, you know, the old York, but
yeah.
The funny thing That's about right. the Empire State is it's clearly the financial capital, if you will, of the country, as far as I can tell, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're very right. You're right. It seems to be the financial empire. That's why we call it the Empire State. New York is an Empire State. And so, therefore, we are an empire. We are the American Empire, which is the Roman Empire. We are the ancient Roman Empire, and our Mississippi is like our Nile. We're talking about the Mississippi River. It's like the Nile River. It goes all the way through all the different cities on the Egyptian Empire and on the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm. Well, this makes it a good place to travel, you know, by land, so to speak, but you're actually on water going through land, and that, well, again, this is a good trade a good avenue for trade, a good place to travel and trade if you're just dealing with the land and you're dealing with simple things, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's evolved into the digital age, and, you know, we could get there eventually. But it sort of makes sense that there are, based on that concept of trading along waterways and ports being so important when it comes to trade, it actually makes sense that some of the very same terms.
You have a passport.
Ah, right. You have a passport. That's a good one. Well, you have a passport, but I was getting into how there's always these aquatic-sounding terms, you see, for
yes.
trade. What do we use to trade if we're not trading products directly, right? One for another, we're not bartering. That's another thing, bartering. But anyway, if we're not trading with that, we're usually using some currency, first of all.
That's right. That's why you have a bank. That's why we have banks, because the bank directs the flow of the current. See, of the currency is the ebb and flow of the current. And we have a bank, which is helping to direct that flow of current. And that's why we have our money called currency, because it is a currency. It is a currency. And so we are dealing continually with a water current. We're dealing with water. And this is why I said that there's two different things in the world. There's a war going on between the people of the planet and the people of the sea. And the people of the sea, we have people calling, going under. And if you haven't paid for your home, we call the house underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are broke and you have no money, then you are underwater. And so having money deals with water. And then there is another law, which is the law of the land. The law of the land is one law, and there's a law of the sea, which is another kind of law. The law of the sea is the law of money. And that's why we say you are underwater. Now, you're drowning in debt. We use terms like that all the time. We also use terms like a ship at sea. And the reason why, because that's what we base our money on the water.
Well, right. And I mean, there's other common terms that don't seem to relate to money, but kind of do if you think about it. Like there are circumstances where you're on the rocks.
Yep, you're right.
You know, and on the rocks means there's some sort of trouble. Now, clearly, if you're a boat going downriver and you hit the rocks, you're on the rocks instead of on the water, you've got problems. So it could be said that any circumstance, especially I hear about marriages being on the rocks, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to me because that is a financial arrangement, actually.
Yep, it is.
And yeah, sure, that vessel could wind up on the rocks, even though it is a partnership. See, it's all about trade and cash flow. There's another term, the flow of
yep.
cash. Why does cash flow as opposed to being circulated? Or, you know, I know some people say it's circulated, but what is really important is your cash flow, isn't it? You know, how
yes,
it's still
it
moving
is.
And can you move it around? Oh, and liquidation, another thing. What happens when, you know, they get rid of all of your assets? Well, you're liquidating them, turning them into liquid. So
right.
This is a primary concern for all sorts of business and anything that has to do with water. Now, why is this, Jordan? I mean, I've always heard about, you know, how people are mostly made of water. The planet's mostly made of water. What is the greater meaning to this? If all trade and everything seems to revolve around water, I guess that means that if somebody actually controls the water, they control the majority of the world.
That's right, because all countries make their big money off of shipping. And that's why we use the word ship so often, as in ownership or ownership, sportsmanship, and I can't think of all the words that we use with a ship and the end. And so we have a citizenship, and we're told not to rock the boat on the citizenship. And then we have a friendship and a business ship. And so ship implies business.
Right.
Because that's how we do business, is on the high seas in a ship.
Well, companionship, authorship, relationship, a lot of ships.
That's it.
Jordan?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. All the different words that end in ship. That's right. And we're told, come on board. You need to come on board the citizenship.
Right. Well, you have to come on board to get involved, to get what? Into business. I mean, even
that's
the idea of your shipping, even if it's not going across water and it's not something that's being done on the seas, right? It's not even by a boat. I mean, if I mail you something, Jordan, I'm shipping it to you.
That's right. You're shipping it to me.
So, you know, there's the use of this word. Why is this? Is it just that simple that because so many things rely on and are made of water on the planet, because the majority of this place, you know, is clearly made of water.
That's right.
That's what it is, right?
And you came down the birth canal when you were born and your mother's water broke and you were born. And so, therefore, you are a maritime admiralty product.
Well, as a matter of fact, even when you get your birth certificate, you know, one of the things they always do is take your footprints. And
yes, that way they can say that they own your soul.
Well, not only that, but they can prove that at some point your person touched land. So, and that's what that is. You were birthed onto the land, but you're not necessarily governed by the law of the land, seems like. So
you're
how do we explain
the
that?
Sea, the law of the sea.
Well, right. And look, even when we talk about voyages, let's say, right, there's always a maiden voyage. There's a lot to do with things here when it comes to the canal and the birth. You know, and by the way, that's what they call it when a ship goes into a body of water as well. It's a berth, right?
That's right.
And that's the point, actually, is that you indeed are some kind of ship according to the system as well.
You are on a ship, on a ship of business, and therefore you are a business, and therefore you get to be on a ship. And it's a ship of state. And we're wandering through the universe on the ship of state. And so it's an ocean of, we say it's like an ocean. And the space is an ocean. And we are flying through space, through the ocean, and we're on a ship that's carrying us all the way through the ocean. And we are on a citizenship, and therefore our citizenship is based on our words and terms and phrases that we use all the time. And so that's why people do not ordinarily understand the financial ownership, financial words and terms. which have to do with water.
Well, is there a spiritual reason why this came about? Is there a connotation here that's linked to the greater stories? I mean, how did this come about? Do you know?
Well, I think it probably has something to do with the whole Earth going through space on a ship. Hmm. And this is called ownership. And so we have an ownership. And when you're born, we have a certificate of ownership. And so your mother signs on your birth certificate, and it says, not owner, it's on paper that is used in banks for ownership. Hmm. And so your ownership is being reported, and so you're getting reported on. It says your mother is informing on you. When you were born, she's informing on you to tell the banks that you have come into the world and that you have a birth certificate. Mm-hmm. And the certificate tells all the points and all the parts about you to the bank. If you were born, and so you know, all these words and terms that are used in banks and securities and all the kind of interesting ways that we are said to be a part of a ship in space. We are a spaceship,
right.
And the Earth is in space, and so we are traveling around on a ship, and that's why we're told to come and join the citizenship.
Well, right, but you also become eligible because your mother reports on your live birth. She is the informant on the form. That you have been birthed. And that is very much, like I said, when they launch a ship in general, a smaller ship maybe. You know, obviously a small ship on the ocean is smaller than the whole world, which would be the greater spaceship. You are indeed a ship as well. So you have been reported that, yes, you were on land, and then you were birthed into the ocean, so to speak.
Yeah.
You were birthed into the greater body of water, and now you are a ship. You are, and that's the thing. Every ship basically is a business. Every ship, whether it's a relationship or a citizenship or a,
dealership.
Dealership.
Yeah, I know, it's mm-hmm. true. You're right. And so it all has to do with water because you came down your mother's birth canal and her water broke and you are surrounded by water. And therefore, you are like have been born in a ship,
right.
and so it's a spaceship or a citizenship mm-hmm. that we are supposed to be on, and that's why we're told not to rock the boat. Don't do too much talking and rocking the boat because we're all on a very tight ship, and that's why we are always told that we are banking, and we have banks because they are a bank is a sound place for a ship. Mm. It's called what is I trying to say? Banks are a banking ship, and so we're told not to rock the boat.
Well, you shouldn't make waves either, or rock the boat.
Yeah, shouldn't make waves, that's right.
And why? This way you can take your ship and you can go to the bank and actually do some business on the land, but you're still a ship.
That's right.
You know, who's dealing with the bank, you know, their dealership of the currency. See how all these things start to link together. And it sounds a little strange, but makes a little bit of sense, doesn't it? I'm saying to the listener.
It does.
And here's where it gets odd, right? Now, you mentioned the canal. Let's think about what a canal is. A canal is a stretch of water, a body of water, which cuts through the land and usually leads to a greater body of water. So when you come through the birth canal, you indeed were going through a narrow, and I would dare say that they're all narrow, the birth canals. you're a ship coming through the narrow canal and being birthed into the greater body of water. Like in the Panama Canal, you can go from one of the oceans to the other, can't you?
So, yes, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
So and Zeus is the ancient word for God in the ancient Latin. Mm-hmm. In Roman Latin, God is Dios. Dios is Zeus.
Right.
Zeus is God. And so the ancient Greeks said that Zeus was the almighty God of all gods. And therefore, today, we have a canal named for Zeus. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Panama Canal. What is the name of the canal?
The Suez Canal.
The Suez Canal is named for the god
Zeus.
Say again?
It's named for the god Zeus. It's just reversed, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Zeus is reversed and it's called Suez. Suez Canal. The Suez Canal is Zeus spelled backwards.
Right.
And therefore, it becomes a very important canal for the god Zeus. And incidentally, we are told by the Lord to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's not really, in fact, the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord said, when you pray this way. Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Zeus. And so let your name be known, and hallowed be thy name. And so the terms which we are using in the Lord's Prayer are terms which are used in astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to try and remember all of these little points to be made, but they're all very important.
Right. No, I was just letting some people know that we are live actually here on Thursday, but which is interesting too. There's another paradigm that could be introduced as far as how it is things are named and why the calendar is the way it is. But of course, we've gone over these things before. I'm trying to break this down in a particular way because it's of the utmost importance to understand how it is that these things ebb and flow, so to speak, right?
That's true.
What is it that dominates the planet? Well, you know, one of the most unquestioned, industries, of faith is the monetary system. And that's the funny thing, is even when you change the names, it's irrelevant. It all works the same way. One live listener brings up that if you are speaking Spanish, you know, when you see the name Jesus, they say it's Jesus, which would be a more proper pronunciation because...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, initially, there was no letter J, and you would have said Jesus instead of Jesus, right, or Jesus. And that's another thing where this is the addition, the addendum. And in Latin, you put the addendum like... You know, in English, we would say that somebody's named after somebody else, and we say that they are that person, junior, or the second, or the third. That particular way of attaching something to a name, in Latin, you would do it first. you know, because junior means that they are the son of that person, right?
Yes.
So in Latin, when it's translated into English, it would be like saying this is the son of this person. That's the way it would be properly said. So this is how the name Jesus comes into existence, really, because it really means the junior of the god Zeus. So that's what it is. It's the son of the god. That's the meaning of the name. I'm not saying that Jesus is the son of Zeus. Don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is that's why that name came about. This wasn't, you know, chosen out of thin air, was it?
No, you're right. And the word that is given to us for Jesus, we're told, is the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. But no, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that the Lord told you to pray. He said, when you pray this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Mm-hmm. What name? Zeus. And let your kingdom come and let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And what are you talking about? A kingdom. And what is God's kingdom? A kingdom is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And why? Because we say an animal kingdom. And therefore, we have an animal kingdom in heaven. And they're called the zodiac. And why? Because Z-O, is a term which was used for an animal by the ancient Greek philosophers. Mm-hmm. And so zoo is an animal. As zoo is where you find animals in the animal kingdom. And that may your kingdom come and let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Because the animal that is over the constellation of the 12 zodiacs is going to have his day. He's going to rule the earth for 2,100 years. And so we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. We're saying that to God like it is in heaven, because the zodiac is in heaven. It's part of a zodiac. And the to Jesus' right hand at the painting, the painting of the Last Supper.
Last Supper
was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. And Da Vinci put the woman as one of the apostles, and Jesus is sitting to her left, and to his right is a woman, and she is one of the people at the Last Supper. Why? Because she is a woman, and she is a woman, as I said, and therefore she is a virgin, and she represents Virgo, the virgin. Mm-hmm. And so she is a woman, as a virgin. And so therefore we say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Of course, because the constellations of the zodiac do impact the earth's history. And we go through 12 months every year. 12 months of the year are the 12 signs of the zodiac. And so they are animals in heaven, the 12 animals in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so we have an animal kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. And so we say the kingdom we are supposed to be in line with the kingdom. We say, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. Well, it's going to be done. That's exactly right. Because the kingdom is going to come because of the constellations of the zodiac, and his will be done, whether you like it or not. And so, therefore, we have a kingdom in heaven. And therefore, this is why we have a Virgo is in Virgo gives birth to Jesus. And this is why we say the Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. The virgin is Virgo, the virgin. The constellation of Virgo has the importance of being over spring, because that's when the spring, when the sun is springing back to life. And therefore, the sun starts off in summer. The first day of summer is the Lion King of Rome, which is the sun in the Lion King. The lion is the god of the sun, and the Lion King is the sun god, Lion King. And therefore, the Lion King is born in the summer. He's as hot as he's ever going to be. And he's directly over the northern hemisphere. And he doesn't get any higher than the Most High. So we call him the Most High God, because that's as high as he gets, is over the northern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. And so we're just talking about the constellations of the zodiac in our heavens.
Right.
And let your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven, as it is in the zodiac. And so therefore, we are talking about, we're asking God to let his kingdom come and let his will be done as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're doing. We're asking for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done.
Right. Now, listen, so, as people are listening, I want you to enter some questions into the chat room, please, because I'm going to ask Jordan as the show unfolds. So if you're hearing us live, please do that. I've got a couple of comments and questions. Let's see. Comment number one is, just like waves crash, so does the stock market.
Yes, that's right.
That's a good one. And also they bring up the term drowning in debt,
yes,
which again is an aquatic term. Okay, so here's the first actual question that we've gotten, though. Being that the lion is so important, why is the ram the first sign of the zodiac? And I know why they're asking this, because I happen to be born under the sign of Aries. So I know that that's supposed to be the first sign of the zodiac, even though according to our calendar, it's not the first part of the year.
That's right.
It is the first sign of the zodiac. So they ask directly, why is the ram?
Because he
is
an animal. And I said, we're talking about the animals in the zoo, because an animal is a zoo. To the ancient Greeks, they call an animal a zoo. And so, therefore, the animals in a zoo are the animal kingdom. And therefore, Walt Disney makes a television show, makes a movie called The Lion King. The Lion King is the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the sun in summer. But in the fall, if you go 90 days later, it's in the fall, and the sun is not so hot now. He used to be hot, but now he's not that hot anymore. So we say he has fallen. He used to be hot, but now it's in the fall. And now he's 90 days later. He now is in fall. And therefore, he's going to fall all the way down until he dies in Capricorn. And in Capricorn, he's going to die in Capricorn, because we're going to see the sun no more, because it's going to be in the winter. And so in the northern hemisphere, it's going to be winter now. And so he's going to be, he said he would be born again. And so the sun is born again. Mm-hmm. And another important part of this is to understand that the language we speak is called Anglo-Saxon. Mm-hmm. We are an Anglo-Saxon people. Anglo means English, and Saxon means German. Therefore, we are an English language founded on a German language. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we are Anglo-Saxons. And in Anglo, the thing that comes up in the morning that brings the light into the world, we say that Jesus is the light of the world because the sun, S-U-N, is what we're going to worship on the sun day,
right.
S-U-N day. And therefore, he is the light of the world. But in German, the sun is spelled S-O-N, not S-U-N. And that is a very important problem because the sun in German is S-O-N. And so that's why we imagine that there's a man hanging on a cross who is the son of God. No, S-U-N of God.
Really?
The S-U-N is the light of the world. Well, what else lights the world but the sun, S-U-N, on Sunday?
Oh, right. But Christianity is not the only religion to have centered upon the sun with good reason. And that leads to one of the next two comments I have here where I'm being asked about why is the word solstice used? Okay, I understand that terminology. It's older than people talking about the sun. But think about this. The word solstice and solar, they sound familiar to each other, don't they?
Yes, I do.
It's because it's about sun worship. But it was more direct in earlier pagan cultures. Okay, so solstice is one of those words that continues to survive because soul, yes, S-O-L, not what we're thinking of, you know, when you're talking about the sole of your foot or the spiritual soul, although that does tie to it in the older orders. So you have solstice, solar. It's about the sun. That's what that means. It's the position of the sun. That's why you have a winter
yes.
and a summer solstice. Okay. So I answered that, Jordan, but there's a question that I think is more directed at you. That question was kind of directed at me, and I figured I'd handle it. And it sounded like I did okay with it, right?
Yep, you did fine.
Okay. So this one's for you. And this is reasonable. I know I got some of these comments before when we did the show 2 weeks ago. So let's just read it directly as it is. Let's see. And City, this is from the chat room, which, by the way, please go ahead and enter even anonymously into the chat room if you have questions or comments, and I will read them to Jordan as I'm about to do. Okay, so this is the question, Jordan. But God had no one before him. So I would think he has no name. I thought that's why when Pharaoh demanded a name, he was I am, in quotes. Now, I know what they're referring to in the Bible. And I am the God simply known as I am, or I am the God who is I am, which is a declaration of existence and is a declaration of, yeah, I that's me,
yep.
The way I read it. Now, that being said, a lot of people say that that's where God is literally declaring in the story that he has no name. What are your thoughts on that, Jordan?
Well, I think you're right, but because Pharaoh, Akhenaten, we are told today that in Hebrew, we're not supposed to use God's name because that is not allowed to be happening. To use God's name. But we're told, let your father, let your God, the name for God, and we're told that it should not be used at all because you're using God's name in vain. But there is a name that Israel says is okay to use. If you want to talk about the God of Israel and the holy God of Israel, we are told is tetragrammaton. All Hebrews know the term is a tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton is the name of the God of the Jews in Israel, and his name is tetragrammaton. Mm-hmm. And it's four. Tetra is four. Gram, G-R-A-M-M, is a letter like A, B, C, D. So therefore, tetragrammaton. The aton was the angel or the spirit, which we call God, to the ancient Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And in Egypt, the tetragrammaton is the name of the spirit of the god of the Egyptians, the Aton. And that is a very interesting fact of life, because the Aton was a very powerful god, the tetragrammaton.
Right.
And so...
Oh, I understand, but you know, people read the scriptures and they come up with different ideas. And here's another comment that's sort of a question. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, Yahweh says to proclaim His name. Now, Yahweh is something I don't think I've ever heard you discuss the name Yahweh, which. You know, I've heard many other people discuss this, okay? But
yeah.
But I don't think I've ever heard you discuss it. And I do know that that is mentioned by name. And there are people that will say, you know, God's name is Yahweh. There are people that say God's name is also Jehovah. Okay, maybe you could help us out with the Yahweh at the very least, though. What are we to take from that being mentioned in the scripture?
The Hebrews call God Yahweh, mm-hmm. because Yahweh is the God of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we say God's son was born, S-O-N, was born and died on a cross. And therefore, he is dead on the cross. But for 600 years, there was no man on a cross in Christianity. Christianity knew nothing about any man on a cross, never heard of it, until it was decided to put a man on a cross to show the enthusiasm and to show the people of the world the kind of treatment that Jesus supposedly was having was difficult. And so, therefore, Jesus is said to be God's son, the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Of course he's the light of the world. What other is another light of the world? What lights the world like the sun? Mm-hmm. And so therefore the sun is God, as God's son, S-O-N, is the light of the world. And the sun, S-U-N, is the light of the world. And every morning he comes back. He said he will come back. And so the devil is called Set, S-A-T, Set, mm-hmm. or S-E-T, Set. And so they noticed it got dark around about sunset. And Set is the god of darkness. And therefore, he is the one that's doing away with God's sun, mm-hmm. because he brings on the darkness. And so Jesus said he will return. He's going to come back. And so the sun does come back. Every morning about 5:30, he comes back. He is born again. And therefore, he is now no longer the god of darkness. He's now the god of the light of the sun. And so it's just words and terms that are used there for something that is coming back. And I have said so many times, I do not believe in Jesus. I do not believe that Jesus is coming back. And the reason why, I find that it's going to be very difficult for a God to come back for somebody who's never been anywhere to start with.
Right.
And so I say God's son is S-O-N, which is S-U-N, actually, is called God's son, S-U-N, which is Anglo, and in Saxon is S-O-N, German.
Well,
and that's why today,
yeah.
we talk about God's Son is the light of the world. He's the light. We say Jesus is the light of the world. Of course, the Son, S-U-N, is the light of the world. What else lights this world but the Son? Mm-hmm. And therefore, God's Son, which is in German, S-O-N, is now the light of the world. Of course, he is the light of the world. And this is why he's born. Each morning he said, I will return. And he does. Every morning he returns. And he chases away the prince of darkness. And the prince of darkness is the devil. Mm-hmm. You take the word evil and put a D in front of the word evil and becomes devil. And the devil is evil because it's dark. It's very dark. And so therefore almost blind, almost blank and almost completely dark, and we don't understand the words and the terms, and so all this is in the dark.
Right.
And so Jesus is the light of the world. Of course he is the light of the world. And so I don't know what else I could say on that subject.
No, fair enough. And, you know, if people want to send me a Skype message, I'm Charles.Ocelli on Skype, and I have had a couple of questions in the Skype so far, but I forgot to mention that even if you reach out to me during the live show and make a friend request, I'll take messages from you during the show. Anyways, this is... Okay, this is a little bit of a lengthy comment. Let me see if I could boil this down real fast, Jordan. Okay, pretty simple. This guy used to misspell the word Satan, and he used to spell it S-A-T-O-N. And so he's wondering, just like with the word devil, which is evil with a D at the beginning, he makes the observation that Satan, S-A-T-A-N, as it's properly spelled currently, that's another thing, by the way, something that speaks to the time is current. Okay, you have current events, okay, because they still matter because there's still business being done. Anyway, that's from the water discussion earlier. But the idea that it's Eitan, basically, with an S. So does this have any significance considering that Eitan is the god of the Hebrews? In the equation you were mentioning, that's the way he put it.
Yes. Well, like I said, Aton is the old ancient god of the sun in Egypt. The Aton. That's why his name in Israel is Tetragram Aton. The four Hebrew letters that spell out Aton. Mm-hmm. The Aton is the ancient god of the sun in Egypt. And therefore, we have the sun god of Egypt that we go to worship on Sunday, S-U-N day. Sunday, we worship Tetragram Aton. And therefore, we realize that the Hebrews were worshiping the Aton, the god of the Egyptians. The god is the Aton.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the sun god of Egypt. And therefore, this is why we call him God's Son, the light of the world. And the sun is the light that lights the world. He does light the world. He said he would return, which means he's not going to let Satan darken the world forever. He's going to come back every morning and going to shine his light on the earth so everyone will know that he is the Almighty God and the source of light in the universe. And therefore, he is the God Aton, the Tetragram Aton. And so...
Oh, no, I get it.
I don't know
what
else to say about this.
I got you. No, I was just asking the question as it was asked, you know. Okay, so we're coming close to the end of what would be an hour. I know according to that thing we call a clock, it's a little after the hour, but we're going to take a break shortly. before we do, I was just curious because I got an email recently because I thought you were going to have your birthday party Probably about 10 days ago, I thought you were going to. I know your birthday's not till toward the end of the month.
Yes.
But you were going to have your birthday party, and now I'm told that maybe it's still upcoming.
It's going to be on the 28th of December. Okay. That's my birthday. The 28th of December, I'm going to have a birthday party. If anyone would like to come, and you can call the number 760-777-2650. As I said, the phone number for calling, for if you'd like to find out where it's going to be held in Los Angeles, right, at my birthday, is going to be 760-777-2650.
Right.
It's going to be...
And look, if you call and you get a voicemail
in Los Angeles.
Right. If you call and you get a voicemail, leave your number. And you can go, and if you're able to get to Los Angeles on the 28th of December, you can make arrangements, and Jordan will know how many people are coming and who's coming, obviously. You can go and celebrate Jordan's birthday with him in Los Angeles, right?
Yes, that would be great.
So, look,
I'm going to be happy to have anyone there. Anyone that wishes to be there will be a host there. If you wish to be there, let me know, so right, I will know you're going to be there, and I will know how many people to plan for.
Right, and I have this phone number, too, so I'll give it out one time just in case you missed it the first time. Grab a pen, or if you're listening to the podcast, obviously you can rewind it. But if not, if you're listening to us live, the telephone number one more time is 760-777-2650. I had
right,
that number already, but the thing is, I didn't know you were going to give it out tonight. But
yes,
but there it is. And if you want to be with Jordan on the 28th of December, which is actually his birthday, see, I thought you were going to do it early, but you know what? Probably better if you wait till the end of the month. It's after everybody's Christmas, which is another thing I want to ask you about when we go into the next hour, if that's okay. You know, the idea of Christmas and what the deal is there, because that's part of the story, too, where they tell us one thing, but maybe not exactly all of the story, huh?
No.
So I want to ask you about Christmas, and let me think here. We will have an opportunity to meet again on the show here one more time before Christmas, but I'd kind of like to get to that tonight, if that's okay with you, Jordan.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, so let's take a break. And remember, again, if you're looking for the website, right, the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's is jordanmaxwellshow.com. All of that one word. And we'll probably give you that phone number again for the information on the birthday party on the 28th of December. But we're going to take a little break here and be right back on the Ocelli Effect. Jordan Maxwell is always special. But he's my guest tonight, so stick around, and we'll discuss Christmas next, and I'm sure you're going to hear something unusual in the next hour. Stick around.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Revelation through conversation.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to The Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
Ocelli.com.
Learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I'll be all proud to be for.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ocelli.
The second hour of The Ocelli Effect continues now. I know that if you're listening on the live stream, you're saying, boy, is he late. Yeah, I am. It's okay. But if you're hearing the podcast, it doesn't matter. Jordan Maxwell is with me. So a couple things to get out of the way real, real fast. JordanMaxwellShow.com is the only website that is Jordan Maxwell's. Other people pretend to be him. Some people have tried to rip him off with pretending to be him, so on and so forth. So there are many websites out there. As a matter of fact, many times I've been approached, you know, oh, we see that you're talking about our material, and yeah, but you're not Jordan. That's the thing. I have Jordan on my show. Why don't you try reading what it is I put out, even, you know? I mean, you don't want to listen to the show, that's fine. But literally, they made those approaches. I tell you about it, Jordan, when they do that. Anyway, I actually have Jordan Maxwell on the show. And again, the only website that is Jordan's is JordanMaxwellShow.com. Also, you can join the Research Society over there for a one-time fee. You can become a lifetime member if you like. There are videos, books, articles, audio. There's all kinds of stuff to discover in the Jordan Maxwell Research Society. Now, how do I know this? Because I'm a member. And again, if you want to reach out to Jordan, if you want to email him, if you want to, make a contribution to him, if you want to download a video or just explore the world of Jordan Maxwell, JordanMaxwellShow.com is the only website that is his. Next thing, though, is on the 28th of this month, in Los Angeles. Funny thing about the City of Angels there, and I find Los Angeles very strange, Jordan, I got to tell you.
It is very strange.
The short time that I lived out there, you know, I could deal with the dirty cities in Jersey. I could deal with the rough time in New York City. I could deal with Philadelphia. I could deal with Sarasota. I could deal with, you know, you name it. Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, all these places. I could make myself at home. Los Angeles, I think, came from another planet. I really do. But either way, that's where you're having your birthday party on the 28th of December. I'm of course making commentary about this, but
I agree with you too.
Yeah, no, I know you do. But thing is, if you want to join Jordan Maxwell for his birthday party, and you can get to Los Angeles, California, on the 28th of December. Jordan would be more than happy to have you along. And you can call the following phone number and make arrangements to do so. You may have to leave a voicemail and have them call you back, but they'll figure it out with you if you can come to the party on the 28th. I wish I could get out to California, Jordan, but that's not going
to
be possible. One of these days, seriously, I do want to, even if it's not your birthday, I want to meet you sometime soon. I really do. If the opportunity comes, I'm going to go. But anyway, you can call 760-777-2650. So one more time, 760, then three sevens, 777-2650. If you call that number, you can make arrangements to be at Jordan Maxwell's. It's 81 years, 81st birthday, right?
Yes, 81 years.
Mm.
I've been talking about the subject I've been dealing with for over 60 years.
Right. Right, right. No, absolutely. So here's the thing. Now back to the information, Jordan.
Yep.
Christmas is a-coming. Okay.
That's right.
The Christ Mass, as I used to say when I was younger. Now, I got to tell you, it's a little weird. Because if the historical Jesus was a true story, why would he be born on December 25th? Now, I know the answer to this question. But I just want to lay this out there and say there's something a little wrong with, you know, some of the rituals with Christmas. Seem like they might have been adopted from elsewhere. There's something wrong with the time of year. Although it is a significant time of year, if you're, I don't know, worshiping the sun, and I don't mean S-O-N, as Jordan pointed out in the first hour, I do mean S-U-N. I get why December 25th would be an important time of the year. It's right after, oh, wait a minute, something else I mentioned, the winter solstice. And I get it. But Jordan, what is the deal with Christmas? I mean, something seems off there. Could you give us some of your thoughts about the holiday, the holy day, that's about to happen?
Well, I would say that obviously the summer solstice or the winter solstice happens on December 25th for all religions in the world. All the religions of the world recognize the winter solstice begins in December 25th. And December 25th is when the sun reaches its lowest point in the southern sky. Each day it goes further south. Like I said, it starts off in summer when he's really hot. And then when later on, after he's not so hot, it's in fall because he has fallen, so he's not that hot anymore. And now he's going southward. Mm-hmm. And then southward, that means he's going to become very cold and very, very difficult to be cold in the winter solstice. And the winter solstice is December 22nd. And then 23rd, 24th, and 25th, when the sun rises again. And then...
Here's an easy way to look at it, Jordan. Just because I see, you know, with the calendar, some people might say, well, look, the solstice is marked on the 21st. Yeah, it is. But here's the thing. Remember those 3 days that, you know, in many different stories... There's this three-day time period where before the resurrection occurs, and I do mean many stories, by the way, not just one, 3 days. Well, for 3 days, the sun remains in the same position in the sky. And after those 3 days, so those 3 days begin with the 22nd. So the 21st being recognized as the solstice, that's when the sun arrives at its resting point. And as you said, across all sorts of faiths, religious orders, etc., this is recognizable. Now, when you go 22nd, 23rd, 24th, what are we celebrating on the 25th? The birth, right, is supposed to be the birth of the Son of God. And that's what it is, because that's the day the sun begins to move. What do you notice? When something is born, it begins to move. And there you have it. So on the 25th, this is the first movement of the sun that can be observed in the sky. Does that sound about right, Jordan?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay. So I just wanted to put that down because somebody might say, well, why is it the 25th when the solstice is always on the 21st? That's why. Because on the 21st, this is the arrival at that point of rest or death, as some of the stories tell you, right? This is when you're done. There's no movement, and that's clearly a characteristic of death. You stop moving. The sun no longer moves in the sky, no longer changes position. So for 3 days, yes, it rests, and then it comes back to life. It begins to move again. And what does it do? It rises. This is why you rise with the sun. Because it is your directive.
He is risen. We say he is risen.
Right.
Well, in fact, the sun has risen.
Right.
And it's risen in the solstice. And so he is risen. He is rising against Set. Mm-hmm. S-E-T, Set. And Set was the god of darkness, or the devil. Mm-hmm. God of darkness. But sun was S-O-N in German, so therefore the sun is the god of light that's bringing light into the world, and it's his birthday. And so therefore December 25th is God's son's birthday. And we still today keep holy the 25th because it's the son's birthday. Mm-hmm. And so that answers that.
No, exactly. Two things that somebody brought up in a Skype comment, if you don't mind. They're asking if the word holy, they want you to speak about the word holy because They're thinking that it means something that applies to the whole of the Earth. The other thing is just an odd broken off comment. You know, Santa Claus, Satan Claus. I have no idea what they're asking there, but that's the comment. Okay, I'm not sure what to make of that. But I told you guys I would ask Jordan or make the comments to Jordan, so I'm doing it. So I don't know what they mean by Satan Claus exactly, although I see the humor. And the other thing about holy is this because it is something that applies to the whole earth, as in the entire earth?
Well, holy is a word that is used by the Druids. The Druids of Europe mm-hmm. were a very important people, the Druids. And so the Druids were everything. They were all the judges, all the priests, and the clergy were all Druids. And in the Druid culture of Europe, which is what we call the white man's culture, mm-hmm. in Europe was a very holy symbol. A symbol of a wand. And so we know magic wands. And therefore, if you go on the web and you put in pictures just from images, mm-hmm. and if you put in pictures of images of Jesus curing and doing his miracles with a Druid wand.
Right, there are images, if you ask the internet basically for images of Jesus with a magic wand, yes. you'll find that there are images of Jesus using a wand. Now, what's interesting here is, and I've heard you make this a connection before, but I'm curious about it. The Hollywood or Hollywood yeah. is something you could make a wand out of as well. And of course we know what Hollywood is in the modern vernacular. It's the place of dreams, you know, the things with the silver screen, the place of illusions where legends are born and dreamed and so on and so forth. So does this all make sense, Jordan?
Yes, it all makes sense. And because that's what magic wands, like Mickey Mouse with his magic wand, is the same magic wand that orchestra leaders, the leaders of orchestras, wave their magic wand and everyone plays to their tune. And so magic wands were always made out of a wood of a holly tree. It's made out of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And therefore Hollywood becomes a temple, the symbol for an entertainment of the Druids, and therefore the Druids become the Hollywood.
Right.
And so we are told that the Jews run Hollywood. Hmm. In fact, it's not Jewish Hollywood, it's the Druid Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Not King David, King Druid. Druids had a symbol called a Hollywood, and therefore it was a symbol of a magic that they possessed
right.
to magnify the magic around the world with Hollywood. And this is why we today are still on the day of Hollywood is now creating magic for people all over the world, the magic of Hollywood.
Well, yeah, common terminology, Hollywood magic, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, the current terms, the current term or terminologies have a root in what the meaning is. So why is it Hollywood? Well, because that's what you make magic wands out of, and that's how you, make Hollywood magic.
That's right.
So there you go. Let's see. I prefer a staff to a wand. You know, that's an interesting thought, though. What about the staff, which is also a symbol? This isn't a fully formed question from the chat, but they bring it up, you know, the idea of the staff. And you do see, you know, Moses using the staff. You see other figures which use a staff, and in some cases, maybe a walking stick, I guess. But
today we still have people in organizations that have a staff meeting.
Right.
And they depend on the staff because the staff is their employee and they are talking to their staff.
Well, right. But the thing is, you know, one could argue that as a walking stick, right, just practically, forget about any religion, but just the use of the word, a staff is something that does what? Supports someone and yes. helps them do their work or stay upright and keep moving. A staff in an organization under someone or being utilized by someone serves the same purpose, so therefore the word is the same. I don't know if you've ever talked about that too much, but it was
just... Yes, I have.
But what
I have
about the
about
what about the symbol, though, that it seems as though, look, emperors, they end up with staffs, right? The pharaoh has a staff, and they have people under them, too, but they actually have these physical... items in their hands. Is there anything to that? Again, it's based on a loose comment from the chat room.
Yes, there is. In point of fact, a staff means a boss depends on his staff. Mm-hmm. And the staff is used to help him to develop his will, what he has to do. He uses his staff. And so that's why Moses is a staff. And the whole idea of Moses going up into the mountain, and he goes up into the mountain and he sees the children of Israel worshiping a golden calf. Mm-hmm. A calf is an animal. Like I said, the other animals in the zodiac are in an animal zoo. A zodiac or a zodiac is an animal. And that's why today we are worshiping a staff. And therefore we are expecting the officers of an organization to have a staff, which helps them to do their job. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we call it a staff.
Well,
because
and,
they lean on their staff.
Yeah. And you bring up the golden calf. I mean, what that is a representation of is what we would understand as Taurus, the bull, right?
And the age of Taurus, the bull.
Right.
Is a golden calf. And it's a, therefore, the Hebrews worship astrology, which is a golden calf, the sun in the age of the bull. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes a golden calf.
Well, there's other things in their rituals that let you understand that they were very much linked to the animal symbols in the astrological chart. For instance, the shofar, right?
That's right.
And
it's the blowing of the ram's horn, and that is also a part of the Hebrew religion. Blowing the ram's horn, mm-hmm. A ram is one of the animals of the zodiac.
Well, right. As I mentioned, I was born in April, so, under the sign of Aries, which is the ram in the astrological chart. And Taurus
Lamb
follows.
Lamb of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lamb of God is a ram.
Right, right.
Ram is what we call the Lamb Ram of God.
Mm.
And Jesus is called the Lamb of God.
Right, right. But there have been others in stories very similar where you have the solar deity who has been the light of the world as the sun is.
It's like the Buddhists have a Dalai Lama. Dalai Lamas are what was I talking about?
Well, the Dalai Lama would be the most enlightened, wouldn't they? Which is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So the Dalai Lama, see, it's always animals, isn't it?
It's always an animal. And therefore, we call the animals in a kingdom. And therefore, God's kingdom is a kingdom of animals.
Mm.
And so we say God's kingdom. And we're to pray to God because of his animal kingdom. And therefore, his animal kingdom, we are accepting the animal kingdom. The animals are in a kingdom. And that's why we have God's kingdom, because they are a kingdom of animals. And therefore, that's where we find the kingdom of animals is in a zoo, which is based on a zodiac.
Right.
And therefore, we are talking about an animal kingdom.
Right.
But, and what else do we have to talk about?
Well, I'm just scanning to see if there's any more questions, you know, or offer them up as they come in or comments. You know, but again, I want to get back to this issue of money, because
anyone coming to my birthday party may be able to ask me anything they want. They can ask me because they'll be there, and they can ask me anything they want and discuss anything they please.
There you go.
Because I am perfectly happy to talk to all the guests at the birthday party about any problems or any thoughts that they may have about the things that I talk about.
Sure. And again, that's on December 28th of this year, which is actually your birthday.
Yes.
You know, the day that you were birthed as a ship, so to speak, 81 years ago. Which is really, really fascinating. Were you born in 1940? Is that right?
Yes, 1940.
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, all right. That makes you almost precisely 10 years older than what my father would be. So you could have easily been his older brother, chronologically speaking. But if you want to be part of Jordan Maxwell's birthday party and you're going to be in Los Angeles, you can be in Los Angeles on the 28th of December. Again, reach out to him. The phone number?
Yeah, 760-770-2650.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can email me at officialjordanmaxwell@protonmail.com.
Right.
protonmail.com. So it's officialjordanmaxwell@protonmail.com.
Right. protonmail.com. Official Jordan Maxwell. Now, that is not his PayPal address, though. You want to make a PayPal donation, you go over to jordanmaxwellshow.com, and there is a button there. And
on the right-hand side of the page, there's a button that you can contribute whatever you wish.
Right.
And I appreciate anything. I appreciate anything because I am living because I accept donations.
Right. Well, that's why I always say, if you want to contribute to Jordan Maxwell's well-being, you go to jordanmaxwellshow.com and click on the button right there. So, a couple other things have come in. Let's see. One listener notes that they are born under the same astrological sign as you. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, do you have any opinions related to Shakespeare? I don't think I've ever heard you talk about that either. And I could see how somebody would ask that question, because Shakespeare's an interesting figure. And I'm thinking that your friend, Manly P. Hall, definitely had some opinions about Shakespeare. And so I was just curious. And I'm curious, along with the listener, if you do have any thoughts about that. I will say, I always find it interesting that what they call that, the New King James Version, right, of the Bible is written the same way. Yeah, the authorized version, the KJV, right, the King James Version, is written very much the same way that a lot of Shakespearean stuff is written. So maybe that's why they're bringing it up. But either way, what are your thoughts on Shakespeare in general?
Well, there is a scripture in the Bible that if you start with the first letter of the scripture, and I forgot the name of that scripture, but there's a scripture in the Bible, and the first word in that scripture, if you count 26 letters, it will take you to the word shake. Mm-hmm. And then if you go to the bottom of that scripture and count backwards 26 words, it will take you to the word spear. Mm-hmm. And therefore, Shakespeare is 26 from the top and 26 from the bottom. Shakespeare. And it was a very clever design. Mm-hmm. And so that's that.
Right. Okay. So the another question here, which kind of dovetails with something else that somebody commented in the Skype, but this is from the chat room, is if you have any thoughts on the left-hand path, so to speak, and the word magic is spelled here with a K, which has implications of its own. But one thing I will say about this is if you ever notice in the portraiture of the Jesus figure, quite often you see one hand in a particular mandala, they call it, in a particular formation. And, you know, it is on your left side, but from proper perspective, the right hand is the hand of ascension in the portraiture. But the left-hand path and the left hand itself, something to the old superstition that left-handed people are bad people because it is the dominant hand. so do you have any opinions about the left-hand path, they call it?
I don't know too much about this left-hand path that you talk about.
Okay.
But I do know that the left hand has always been basically a bad trait to write with the left hand. Mm-hmm. And so the right hand was right, R-I-G-H-T, right is a right hand, and so you write with the right hand. Mm-hmm. You don't write with your left hand.
No, fair enough. Also, somebody asks if you believe that the individual known as William Shakespeare is Sir Francis Bacon or not.
I've heard that many times, but I'm not really sure. I don't know for a fact that that is the truth. Mm-hmm. I've heard that expressed many times, that he had a different name.
Right. No,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, to my knowledge, that's exactly where I would come down on it as well. And I've looked at it. There's some interesting research that's been done even on this where it's possible that they are one
and
the same person.
That's right, it is possible.
But I'm not convinced that that's a certainty. Based on what I've seen, now, it doesn't mean that I've seen everything. I mean, Jordan, you know, you've been around 81 years. I'm not even here 50 yet. Give me a few more months, I'll be here 50 years. But the thing is, from what I've seen, and I've seen a lot, but not everything, I'm not entirely convinced that it is the gentleman that is regarded in history as Sir Francis Bacon. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't say that it's untrue. But I wouldn't tell you that I'm certain that that is true. Seems like you're of about the same opinion.
Sir Francis Bacon was a very intelligent man, and he did many things people in the world would know about. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that he was Sir Francis Bacon.
Mm-hmm. But then again, as I said, you allow that it is a possibility.
Yes, but, it's possible. And yeah. I'm sure there is a truth to some of this. I just don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I've heard, of course, the story that Shakespeare was Sir Francis Bacon. Mm-hmm. That's possible, but I don't know for sure.
Well, and it's possible, actually, that, again, I bring up Manly P. Hall because he had written something about this as well. And I'm not saying that Manly P. Hall is right or wrong. I'm just saying that Manly P. Hall had studied so many more things than I believe I'll ever be capable of.
And me too.
You
yes.
know, and he was a guy you knew, and I only know by reputation and what I've been able to access. But still, it's an incredible wealth of knowledge. And perhaps if Manly P. Hall was convinced of that, I might feel more obliged to agree with it.
Yes, me too.
You know, but I'm not sure. I know he wrote about it, but I'm not sure how he concluded what he thought on the subject.
That would be interesting to look that up and find out for sure and be done with it.
Yeah, it would be. It certainly would be something to, because that would make the story of how these, you know, remarkable works of literature became what they are. And that's another thing, Jordan. You know, and here's an odd question out of the box from me. I have always had this inclination to believe that that, quite frankly, something that has a, let's call it a divine result, and I know I'm not using the best words here, but something that touches a lot of people, that really seems to influence them in a positive way, when somebody generates something like that in literature or in the creation of a piece of art which just moves the masses, so to speak, you know, I often think to myself that this is inspiration. That would have to be divine if it has such a positive result. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a book.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm curious, though. There are some people that say, no, the only thing that was ever divinely inspired is the Bible. And I don't know. I can't see that, you know, an all-powerful God would only inspire one book. I just think that, you know, he'd be capable of doing a lot more. And it just seems to me that the world is evidence that that he has. I mean, there's a lot of darkness, but there's also a lot of things that have been created by, again, the human family that, well, you know, quite frankly...
I know.
Yeah. I mean, how do you view that?
Well, I agree that it doesn't seem as though the Bible is... In fact, inspired by God, because in the scriptures it talks about God many different ways and different things. For instance, in the book of Exodus 33, it says that God was in Mount Sinai. Sin, S-I-N, was the name of the God of the mountain. The God of the mountain was Sin, S-I-N. We call him Allah today. Allah was Yahweh. Yahweh is Hebrew for Allah. Allah is Arabic. And therefore, Allah was Yahweh. And therefore, what were we talking about?
No, it's okay. You know what? I have a question to add to that. You were talking about, you know, Allah and how that was adapted from a previous term. And somebody did ask about Allah earlier, and I forgot to mention it, but I you just reminded me about how, you know, the concept of Ra, when it comes to the Egyptians.
Was a moon god.
Yeah. And
yeah,
Allah...
It was a moon god.
Oh, yeah, but Allah, see, when Allah is represented, what do they have? They have a crescent moon.
Yes.
So Allah and Ra, not just because they sound, they have that long A sound in them, must be related. That was the earlier question that I forgot to mention to you.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Well, Allah and Yahweh, and Yahweh is the Hebrew God and was the sun, and Allah is a moon god. Mm-hmm. And Allah is a moon god. And what was said about Allah is very funny. It says that Moses went up into the mountain to talk with God, to meet God. And it says that Moses, when he was in the mountain, he asked God if he could see him, if he could actually see God. And God told Moses, no, you cannot see me. I will not let you see me. Because anybody who sees me must die. And so I can't let you live if you see me. But because you have been so faithful and so deliberate and so good to me, I'm going to make a special dispensation for you, Moses. I'm going to let you see my glory. So go behind the rock that you're standing by and go behind that rock and hide your head so you don't see me. And then when I give you a, signal, you can pop out from behind the rock and you can see my glory. And you will see, instead of my face, I will pull my pants down and you can see my butt. And I will show you my behind. And that's in Exodus 33. And so I think that is awful funny that God would show his butt to Moses. And so I don't know where you go from there.
No, fair enough. I brought it up because it's just one of those things that, again, is in the symbols. You know, very much like if you look at what some people think is a halo. Again, I look at the paintings that were commissioned by the churches.
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of information in those. I'm not saying I love the Tom Hanks movies, okay? I'm just saying that the points are made there in the Da Vinci Code movies, right? That there are symbols all throughout these illustrations that were made by the artists. They were commissioned by the church to do them. And the fact that you have this illumination coming from behind Christ's head in many, many portraits is because, you know, his head is representing the sun itself, the sun in the sky. I mean,
yes.
That's all there is to that. But I will get into another question here, which is that, you know, it is often said that Lucifer as an angel was a light bringer.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, it
and
almost
in the book
seems
of
like,
Revelation, yeah. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, mm-hmm. in Revelation 22, I think 22:10, if I'm not mistaken. But Jesus is said to be Lucifer. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "I am Lucifer."
Right.
And so I don't know what you do with that, but that's what it says.
Well, I don't know either, but I got to tell you that there was a stand-up comedian, Jordan. I don't know if you'll appreciate this, but I always found it funny because it was a guy who was an angry drunk that told me this when I was a kid. He would say that, you know, there's actually no... there's no devil, there's no God, there's one guy. And I'd say, you know, what could you explain this to me? I was a little kid. Explain that to me. It's one guy. What do you mean? And he says, well, you know, that's just God when he gets drunk. That's it. You know how they say that you have the devil in you? That's because you got the spirits. You know how they call these spirits? Well, there you go. That was the first time I ever heard something that sounded a little like you, Jordan. I don't know. You know, it was not quite as organized or interesting, but, you know, an angry drunk, I think, explaining that, you know, the most compassionate and empathetic and wonderful person, if you add alcohol, could change the whole equation.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And what about that, though, that they've always called these things spirits, if you will? What do you think of that?
Well, that's true, because alcohol has been called a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and that we have spirits in our drinks, and so we have alcohol as a spirit.
Right,
and
I always found that funny, though. It's just God when he's drunk, you know, and therefore he gets angry and does bad things and whatever, but once he sobers up, he's okay again, you know. Again, probably not something
well,
you would
know. Well, they said God made Adam...
right,
and Eve to be in his likeness, his image and likeness.
Right.
And so, like us, there comes a time if God is in the drinking part of his life, he could get drunk and do things which are very ungodly,
mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Well, a drunk, angry God, if you think about it like if you were to just make that the reality of the story with a little Hollywood magic, you know, could be a really, really vicious and dangerous thing. Do a lot of damage. Much like, you know, a man does when he gets a little too drunk and a little too carried
That's
away
right.
with himself. And if we are in the, you know, let us make him like us. Yeah, which
that
is
means
what they
we
said.
Are like our creator. Mm-hmm. We're like him.
Which makes a lot of sense because, you know, if you think about it, what, your kids wind up resembling you a little bit in some way, right?
That's right.
So, and we're often said to be the children of God. So, all kind of makes sense if you think about it. Anyway,
well, we're called the children of Israel. The
right.
children of Israel, but we are not children. We have kids.
Hmm.
So we have kids, which are baby goats.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we're not children of Israel. We're baby goats. We're kids. And therefore, we all have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have kids, it means we have our offspring. And therefore, we are part of an animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We have kids. And I've often wondered about that. Because, you know, children of Israel are called children. But the children of Gentiles is called kids.
Mm.
We are kids.
Right, right. And, of course, again, the derogatory term, the slang, again relates to animals. What do they call the Gentiles? The goyim, which are
That's
effectively,
right.
You know, the baby cattle. So
that's right, baby cattle.
You know,
goyim. That's exactly right.
Fair enough. Anyway, Jordan, you know, we're coming toward the end of our time together. I know we're a little over time if you're on the live stream, but it won't matter because you're going to have a full two-hour podcast if you're just catching the podcast, and you'll listen to that whatever time of day you choose. One more time, I'm going to remind people that they can be part of your birthday party, which is on the 28th of December.
Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, California. That place that I swear feels like it's from another planet, but
yeah,
it's okay. It's an interesting place to visit. I did not like living there. But it is interesting, and there is magic in the air. Now, if it's good or bad, well, judge for yourself. But one good thing that's going to happen there is Jordan's birthday party for his 81st birthday. And if you'd like to be there on the 28th of December, one more time, you can either email officialjordanmaxwell@protonmail.com, or you can call this phone number, 760-777-2650. Obviously, that's a U.S. number, and if you're going to be near Los Angeles, you'll be in the United States somewhere, or at least what was the United States, somewhere. If you can get to Los Angeles, California, you could ask Jordan questions directly and have a conversation with him and enjoy his birthday with him out there in Los Angeles, California. But if you're looking to just make a contribution to his well-being, you go over to JordanMaxwellShow.com, which is the only website that is actually Jordan Maxwell's. JordanMaxwellShow.com. That's all one word. Jordan Maxwell Show, and then that .com on there. There's a PayPal button. There are some audios and pictures to look at and stuff like that in the front of the site. But there's also the Research Society, which you can join for a one-time fee. You can get a lifetime membership with the Jordan Maxwell Research Society. Tons of research in there. Tons of observable documents, books, articles, videos, audio, all kinds of stuff. How do I know this? Because I'm actually a member, too.
I was told mm-hmm. by my attorney friends, I have friends which are attorneys and lawyers,
mm-hmm.
and they told me, if you're going to put anything on your website that could get you in trouble and could be very troublesome, the government will take you down, will close down the whole operation.
Hmm.
If you're not careful, they will close you down.
Right.
If you're talking about things that they shouldn't be listening to. So if you're going to talk about subjects that you could get in trouble for, you should make it so that it's a contribution to join your website. And so that will show that shows the government that the people who are in your research organization
mm-hmm.
want to be there. They want to hear. Because you could go into a restaurant with about 10 of your friends, and with all of your friends, you can sit and talk about anybody any way you wish. Mm-hmm. And that's a private conversation. Government has nothing to do with that. But if you go on the air and start using that same language, mm-hmm. and talking about people, the government is empowered to shut down anything that is to protect the public. Right. And so if you're going to use those kind of terms and anything that's going to get you in trouble, which I have on my website, if you go to the research website and you join the research for very, very, very low, very small contribution,
right.
You get a lifetime invitation, a lifetime to see all the words and the terms and the dictionary, mm-hmm. and the encyclopedias, photocopies and terms that you never see anywhere on any website but JordanMaxwellShow.com.
Yeah, there's a breakdown there in the Research Society on different symbols and things that are right there. As a matter of fact, we were talking about money earlier. There's a whole section on the symbols that are printed on money and on coins and stuff like that. But there's a ton of stuff in there. I can't even describe it all. But here's the thing about this. It's like, remember we often talk about what George Carlin said, you know, it's a big club and you ain't in it. Well, here's the thing. If you know, and I've talked about this in other shows, not with you, Jordan, but where there are states, you know, where you're not allowed to smoke, say, at a bar. Well, yeah, that's because it's open to the public. But if you go to a bar that has you pay a fee to join their club, now it's a private club. You can smoke in there. You can actually smoke, okay? And that means you can talk about whatever you want in there, too, because it's not open to the public. It's a private club. So the Research Society, which I think the lifetime membership is like $30. Anyhow, you can join there and see stuff that is not necessarily available to the public or ready for public consumption because it's a private club. Here's a small club, and you can be in it. Okay, to twist
that's true.
What Carlin said.
You can be a part of it.
Exactly, and be a part of it. So y'all start by going to JordanMaxwellShow.com. And, yeah, you can find the button for the Research Society. You can find the button to make a contribution directly to Jordan's well-being, his upkeep. You know, he definitely appreciates donations of all sizes and anything that's offered there if you just appreciate his work. So you can do that at JordanMaxwellShow.com. I'll also give you the direct link so you could go right to the Research Society if you want in the show notes. But both things are available if you start at the only website that is actually Jordan Maxwell's, JordanMaxwellShow.com. So, Jordan, with all this having been said and all the things we went over tonight, we got a couple of minutes left. And I'm just curious if you have a... Because I know we live in contentious times, and there are a lot of struggles about the energy and finance. That's why I started out with money tonight. Money is on my mind. Of course it is. You've always got to keep your eyes on the business, right? And what happens to opportunity if you don't seize it? It might evaporate. You know, all sorts of terminologies related to water, which you are made up of a whole lot of water, you personally, you listening, but also you as in the world. Made up of water, and of course the business of ships upon it is what your business, my business, and try not to be in bad company. Anyway, all of that having been said, Jordan, do you have any final thoughts on tonight? Anything you want to tell people? I mean, we talked about the birthday, the website, so you don't need to do any of that, but just kind of like whatever's on your mind. Is there anything about the current state of affairs out there you might want to mention or discuss or give somebody a hint or an encouragement or anything?
I would say that nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Mm-hmm. Nothing works the way you think it does. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department do not do what you think they do. Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. And so I have uncovered so many of these dark places and what is really going on that I would like to make sure that you know about. And so, therefore, if you wish, join my research society website, which is jordanmaxwellresearch.is.
.is.
It's its own. If you want to join the research, it's jordanmaxwellresearch.is. Mm-hmm. IS is the research society. It's not from Israel. It's an island in the North Pacific.
Okay.
And so, therefore, it's jordanmaxwell.is. And so, if you'd like to get the information that I have that could be trouble for other many people, if I were to just put it out on the web, but I don't. I put it out for you to join for just a $30 joining fee for $30, you can now see all of the documents I have that could be trouble for you to know about. And so that's one thing I would like for you to see. I'd like for you to see the religious pictures and the things which I have audio, video, lectures, and all kinds of strange lectures where people are talking about the strange things that are going on in the world today. And so I would invite you to join the research society. Join the jordanmaxwellresearch.is, or you can go to jordanmaxwellresearch.is or to jordanmaxwellshow.com. And then you can click on the research button. It will take you to jordanmaxwellresearch.is. And so just know that there are so many things that you don't know that could get you in trouble if I had to put them on the web by itself. But I put it on the web where people must join the website to showing that they want to know. They want to know the things which I have found.
Right.
And,
well,
and
like
so
I said, like I said before, you know, you can join. It's a relatively small club, not quite as big as the big club George Carlin talked about. But it's a really small club that you can be, you know, you could actually be in it. So there you go. One-time fee, $30 over there, and you get a lifetime membership with the Jordan Maxwell Research Society. So anyway, we're going to do this one more time before Jordan's birthday, but we'll probably discuss some other issues. This one is all done. I thank you guys for listening. I thank everybody for tuning in and Jordan for being here. I am merely Ocelli. All of you are a DB Effect. Good night.
A fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JP Sicily and all of the guests that you have how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have no idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send email and death threats.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com.
Go there now. Go there now.
Go there. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Mary Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Mary Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.